no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? Grace unto the hearers. Now notice verse 30. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Gives us the fact that we are sealed unto the day of redemption, but it also tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit by our evil speaking, by corrupt communication, filthy communication. Unwholesome words is another rendition. Look at verse 31. That all bitterness, wrath, clamor, rather anger and clamor and evil speaking. The word evil speaking there means slander. Be put away from you with all malice. Here is the guideline. Here is how God wants us to live, he says, and be kind one to another. If I can't say something good about somebody else, then let me keep my mouth shut, Lord. If I can't say a kind word, you look at even the person who rubs you and I worse, and we have a hard job with them. We can find something kind to say about them, can't we? If we look hard enough, we're going to find something. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, beloved, the conduct, he says, only let your conduct be as becometh the gospel of Christ. And so we have proper conduct. Secondly, we not only have proper conduct in verse 27, but then we also have another idea here, is powerful unity. And I'll tell you this. The Holy Spirit knew what he was doing when he got Paul to write it this way. You know why? And he talks about our conduct because, you see, nothing hurts and nothing causes disunity like evil speaking and talking. That's why Paul exhorted the church here at Philippi to let their conduct be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Now he talks about powerful unity in verse 27, that whether I come to you, he says, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There is the thought of unity, with one spirit. Stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Oh, how important this is. Because I believe that one of the things that destroys or breaks down the unity among God's people is if we're not conducting ourselves, if we're not living our lives as becomes the gospel of Christ. Paul says here that we are to strive together, standing fast in one spirit with one mind. One of my favorite psalms is the 133rd Psalm. I often quote that, and I love it. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the ointment upon the head, even upon the beard that ran down the beard that went down to the skirts of Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, like the dew of Hermon, and the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. You see, in that passage you have the oil, which speaks of the anointing of the Spirit, which speaks of the consecration of the priest. And it is the Spirit of God, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it is the Spirit of God who brings us together in unity. And he says, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he says, it's like the oil. And then he speaks of the dew. You know, it's wonderful to wake up sometimes when the dew has been falling And you don't hear the dew fall, if you feel it. Some mornings you'll wake up and if you have a guttering around, you probably won't hear it, but you have a roof of your head. But the dew speaks of the refreshing of the Spirit. The refreshing of the Spirit. It's like the ointment upon the head. Even Aaron said that went down to the beard that flowed down. You see how when God's people are together, you see the beauty of unity. You see the power of unity. The oil that touches the hair, that flows down upon the beard, that runs down to the skirts of his garment. Like the dew. In all of its refreshing majesty and power. So the refreshing of the Holy Spirit when God's people are united. Like the dew that descended upon Hermon, the high snow-capped peak of Hermon, Mount Hermon in the north, but then the mountains of Zion. He says, for there the Lord commanded blessing. Where does God command the blessing of God's people dwelling together in earth? Even life forevermore. And so we find that the exhortation here of Paul to the church at Philippi is that they be united. You know, I see three areas of unity. I want to mention them very quickly to us and to our own hearts. There is corporate unity in assembly worship. In Romans 15 and verse 6, he says, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Corporate unity in the assembly worship with one mind, with one mouth. And I'll tell you this, beloved, if you're praising God and we pray together, you know, there's one thing I tell couples, share with them in my counseling with them. I said, you pray before you go to bed. You cannot pray if you're angry. You're upset with one another. You've got to get it straight first. You can't pray. Scripture tells us that. Oh, yes, you can't pray. And that's why I want to encourage you, beloved, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, because the devil wants to divide God's people. He wants to cause us to be falling out with one another. And so he says, stand fast in one mind, in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Corporate unity in the assembly worship, as we have in Romans chapter 15. And verse 6, there is corporate unity in the assembly welfare. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul here speaks of this, not only in the assembly worship, 1 Corinthians 15, 6, but 1 Corinthians 10, in the assembly warfare. He says, and I beseech you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1, 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, there is 6 or 7 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul uses the threefold title of the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus our Lord. He uses it over and over and over again. Beginning in verse 2, verse 3, and in verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9, in verse 10. Notice what he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Corporate unity in the assembly worship. Romans 15 and verse 6. Corporate unity in the assembly warfare. Paul had to write that because you know what happened in Corinth. They were divided on who was the best preacher. You've got to be careful of that, beloved. You know, we all have our favorites. But as I said on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter who's preaching God's word. That person is filled with the Spirit and filled with God's word. Let me tell you something. We come expecting a blessing. We're going to get it. We're going to receive it. Praise God we are. And they were saying, you know, some were saying, oh, we like Peter. He's that traditionalist, you know. We like that man that's traditional. He's a Jew, man. He's traditional. Some are saying, we like Apollos. He's that fiery guy. Boy, when he preaches, he stirs us up. Some are saying, we like Paul. Paul says in chapter 3, who is Apollos? Who's Peter? Who's Paul? He says, Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but it's God who gives the increase. Get your eyes off of the preachers, he says. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on the Lord. So there's corporate unity in the assembly worship in Romans 15 and 6. One mind, one mouth, glorify God. Corporate unity in the assembly welfare here in this, and corporate unity now in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, in the assembly witness, that you stand fast with one mind, one spirit, with one mind, striving together. You see that word? It says striving together. Oh, that's a beautiful word, isn't it? You know, you read the, study the, if you have a good concordance in your Bible, or if you have a nice one at home, I'm sure some of you do, study the word together in the New Testament. Beautiful word. Together. You know something, beloved? We better get our differences settled down here, because when the Lord comes, we're going to be caught up together. Amen? We're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I love that word together. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Paul says, when we come together to remember the Lord, you know, it says in fact, in Acts 20 and verse 7, it says they came together to remember the Lord. That suggests that, you know, agreeing together too. So you see the importance, he says, striving together, not separately. Linking hands, joining hands together. Settling, making sure there are no differences. Making sure there are no problems. One mind, one spirit, striving together. For what? For our glory? No. For the glory of the assembly at the Gospel Chapel in Spanish Wells? No. For the gospel of Christ, for the glory of God. See, that's important. Oh, how we need to remind ourselves, this is nothing new. These are no new truths that we're learning. We've heard these things again, but you know, we need this, as Peter says, stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. And go back over them and say, Lord, you know, we're falling down. And so he says that proper conduct in verse 27, not only proper conduct, but powerful unity. There's nothing like unity. I think of the book of Nehemiah, it's one of my favorite books. And I see how Nehemiah, that man that God raised up, how Nehemiah rallied that small group of people for the massive job of rebuilding the walls of the city. He had problems. He had difficulties. He didn't have not only Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem on the outside, but he had problems on the inside. You read chapter 4, verse 10. Nehemiah. The strength of the bearers of the burdens. It was Judah who said it. It was the strong tribe. Is decayed and there's much work to be done. They were getting discouraged. Chapter 5, he had problems. Some of them were merchandising among their own people. But you know, God gave that man wisdom. You know why? He was a man of prayer. Gave him wisdom. And each time he met the challenge, was able to resolve the problem. And it says, so built we the wall. You know why it said the wall was built? In chapter 4 it says, for the people have a mind of work. It takes work, you know, beloved. As we work together for the faith of the gospel, as we strive together, it takes effort. It's going to take more effort on our part. But we work together. You know, as I was thinking of this today, and I was meditating in Acts as well, the very first problem that arose in the church, Jerusalem, did not arise over doctrine. You ever thought of that? It never arose over false doctrine. It never arose over anything like that. And in chapter 6, the devil's first attempt to divide God's people came over food. And you know the cry that went out? Discrimination. That's the cry we hear today. We're being discriminated against. The Greek-speaking Jews. Look at these, you know, our people are being, our widows are being neglected. You know what I thought of? I said, oh God, how oftentimes. It's not the big things that the devil uses to divide God's people. It's not the things you would expect. It's things like that. Lord, deliver us from getting our eyes off of you and getting our eyes on each other in these things. And thank God the apostles were given wisdom. And there is a principle that I'd like to leave with you. I think it's a principle for the elders of the church. They said, look, brethren, it's not right that you should leave the Word of God to serve tables. And I didn't mean that they thought that serving tables was demeaning or below them. But their responsibility was the preaching and teaching of God's Word, was getting those believers grounded. I think there's a principle that we must keep in mind as elders of an assembly. There's a great need there. That's why God raises up. And I thank God I see here young men coming to the forefront. I want to encourage you, brethren, encourage you young men. Because the elders, the spiritual leaders need to be in the Word. That's why, as we call them, the first deacons were raised up. That's a responsibility. Brethren, you know, get involved. Don't leave it up to just a few. And don't put the pressure on just a few, because that's what will also bring hardship and division. He said, you choose out from among you 7 men. Well, they gave some guidelines. Honest men. Men of good works, men that are filled with the Spirit, we will set them over this matter. We will give ourselves to the Word of God and prayer. What a principle. God gave them wisdom. You know what it says in that same 6th chapter? It says that the Word of God grew and multiplied, and many priests were added unto the faith. Oh, the old devil, he thought he had them. God gives the elders wisdom if problems arise to deal with it. Can't leave it. Deal with it. Immediately. That's what they did. What happened was, the old devil would look back and say, "Ooh, I blew it there, man. I really did." The work just expanded. Very quickly, I want to close. Time is gone. The last part of verse 27 of chapter 1 of Philippians, he says, striving together, I just want to suggest, this is purposeful evangelism, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, the church, when it presents a united front, and they are united together, and they have the aim of the faith of the gospel of reaching people for Christ, people are going to be saved. But if we're not pulling together, if we're tearing down and we're tearing down one another, how do we expect people to get saved? It's the faith of the gospel that we must keep before us. It's the fact that we are here to multiply. The church is here to multiply. You know how we multiply? Through seeing other people saved. Seeing people brought into the kingdom of God, saved by God's grace, born into the family of God, brought into the assembly to be taught and to become a part of the assembly, to grow and to exercise their spiritual gifts for the mutual edification of the body. So we have the important truth of standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Beloved, we need to join hands as never before. Work together. We need as never before to hold on tight to one another, move out together. You've heard this illustration about the little girl that was lost that evening, disappeared in the snow. They searched, the people searched all night, didn't find her. Early the next morning, someone suggested that they might have missed her, and they said they decided they would join hands. They knew she was in this area, this field, but they weren't sure just where. They said, let's join hands! And we'll walk across the field together. And it wasn't long before that company, one of them stumbled over the little girl, but she was already dead. The mother said, the tears in her eyes, she held the lifeless, cold form of that little girl to her breast. Oh God, if we'd only joined hands before, she might have been saved. Beloved, let's join hands in the gospel. Let's work together. Let's be steadfast. The Lord's coming soon. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank thee for thy word this evening. Oh, how we need to be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in thy work, for we know, praise God, we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh God, we pray that we might be willing to forget little differences, put aside things that we know that would be hindering thy work here, not only here, but in other places. We pray for God's people. Lord, we pray for a fresh spirit of love for one another. Lord, that we will obey the truths of thy word, that we will let our conduct be such that it becomes the gospel of Christ. And we recognize, Lord, that where the conduct is right and where there is corporate unity, there is going to be the good results in evangelism. Souls will be saved. Lord, we want to see souls saved. Some of us have loved ones that are near and dear to our hearts that are not saved. We just ask, Lord, that tonight we will examine our own lives. Examine the life of each one of us, Lord, that we look within, not at the person sitting next to us, in front of us, in back of us, or somebody else, but Lord, search our own hearts now and look in the heart of your servant as well. Remove all that is there that would hinder grieving the Spirit of God. Lord, help us to let our speech be governed by the Spirit of God, our tongue be under the control of the Holy Spirit, so that we will know how we will answer every man, that our speech will always be with grace, that it will be seasoned with salt. Lord, that we, people are going to see that we're walking and talking like Jesus people, those who name the name of Christ. Thank you for each one. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of thy people here. Thank you for those that have come faithfully to the meetings to listen to thy word. Encourage their hearts, encourage our hearts, Lord, and help us to renew this desire to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Lord, we pray for those who used to come to the meetings. They've fallen by the wayside. Some have lost the joy they've had. Some have left because of something they didn't like. Help them, Father, to get their eyes off of things and get their eyes back on the Lord Jesus. Lord, that they too will have a desire to meet with God's people again and to work together. Pray for the men that are out on the boats. Those Christian men, Lord, give them the fortitude, give them the strength to be feeding each day upon the word, because especially those men who have ungodly, wicked men working beside them, all that they might live a life that is going to speak to those men. Pray, Father, for all of us as we move around this community and other communities, in the workplace, wherever we are, whatever we do, that our conduct will be as becomes the gospel of Christ. Thank you, Father, for thy word this evening. How we praise you for it. We need to bless it to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to not only be hearers, but to be doers as well. For we pray in the precious and worthy name.